Well, good morning. So if you're new, I normally don't wear a t-shirt preaching, you know, but today starts National Recovery Month all over the nation. The month of September is National Recovery Month. And for you guys, I guess, I've been a drug and alcohol counselor for about 25 years, and God called me Pauline here about 3 years ago, so now I'm doing both and love it and think it's great, and God's just blessing. But today, all over the world, okay, probably close to 500,000 people, they can guess, they're wearing their recovery, Celebrate Recovery t-shirts in churches on Sunday morning today. And thousands of preachers are preaching in their Celebrate Recovery t-shirt. And so I just wanted to honor this time and wear my t-shirt. And so Celebrate Recovery is a ministry that started by Rick Warren at Saddleback Church in California. Man, over 20 years ago now. Remember Rick Warren? Purpose-driven church, purpose-driven life. So him and another cat in there that had a drinking problem started Celebrate Recovery. Not that Rick Warren had a drinking problem, but he's got some kind of problem. Everybody's got problems, right? And so they started Celebrate Recovery about 20 years ago. So y'all stay with me. I got a four-minute commercial. Is that okay? And I'll tell you why in just a minute. It's not like AA. Celebrate Recovery, they have meetings all over the country, United States, and all around the world, too. There's one that meets in Morven on Wednesday night. That's all they do at Morven Baptist Church, is Celebrate Recovery on Wednesday night. The whole church, they do Celebrate Recovery on Wednesday night. There's one in Moultrie, bunch in Tallahassee, one in Adel, one in Tifton, and there's one in Valdosta. And the one in Valdosta I helped start years and years ago, and my good friends, Scott and Missy Turner, now run the Celebrate Recovery in Valdosta, and it's very, I mean, they might have 150, 200 people in their Celebrate Recovery meeting, and it's really cool. It's really grown a lot. And so the reason I'm saying that is, and I'll tell you this first, nationally, Celebrate Recovery, only one third of the people that go to Celebrate Recovery had a problem with a habit, like a drinking, drugging, cigarettes, nicotine, something like that. The other two-thirds go, don't have a problem with drugs and alcohol. You know? And so it's about habits, hang-ups, and hurts. So the other two-thirds go because of hang-ups and hurts. And boy, I preach a whole message on that, right? But y'all know what I'm talking about. So the statistics are that 20-25% of church folks sitting in the pews would greatly benefit from going to Celebrate Recovery. And I know most of you now that's sitting here, over almost 3 years now, and I can tell you that that's true about our church. That at least 20% of you sitting in this pew right now would greatly benefit from attending Celebrate Recovery. You would greatly benefit. They have small groups, and they talk about habits, hang-ups, and hurts. So, Morven, Moultrie, Valdosta. So if the Lord's moving in your heart to get involved in a Celebrate Recovery, I'm like the guy that I could start one here, but it wouldn't be beneficial. I mean, there's too many around. So if the Lord's put it on your heart, follow His direction. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for freedom in Christ. Lord, thank you for all the people that's celebrating in all the churches around the world, especially in America. Lord, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of folks celebrating freedom. Freedom from addiction, freedom from grief, freedom from abuse, freedom from trauma, freedom from divorce, freedom from hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And Lord, we thank you for that freedom. Lord, I ask you to bless our time today as we get into your word. Well, Lord, first we want to stop and ask for your mercy and grace regarding the hurricane. Lord, you know what's happening. You're sovereign. You understand. You know what everyone's needs are. Lord, we just trust you with this whole weather thing and the hurricane and where it's going, where it's not going, and all the people that's going to be in its path. Lord, we just pray for protection, courage, strength. Lord, we just trust that your will be done in all this. Bless this time in our word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you're visiting with us, we're going to be in the book of John. So if you could turn to John chapter 6. If not, Derry's going to have it up on the screen back here. So if you didn't bring your Bible. John chapter 6. Now if you're new or you're visiting with us, what we've been doing is going through the book of John verse by verse. Okay, and the idea, it might take us 3 or 4 or 5 or 6.5 months, but the idea is that when we finish this book of John, we're going to be, we're going to have hopefully a better understanding of Jesus. We're going to be closer to Jesus. We're going to get to really know him and hopefully have a better relationship with him than we have now, me included and all of us. So we're going through the book of John. We're in chapter 6, and we're going to be in verse 1 through 15. 1 through 15, and let me read it for you. It says, after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Sorry, I was looking at Heath. I thought maybe he'd catch me on that one again. The Sea of Tiberias. Verse 2, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? Verse 10, Jesus says, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. Now, that's an interesting statement there now. Much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. Verse 14, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Everybody said amen? I have a question for you. Have you ever been looking for something that was right in front of you all the time? It's just right there. I can look for something really hard for 10 minutes and can't find it, and turn to Lynn and ask her where it's at, and she goes right to it. Anybody know what I mean? Men, come on. I really think this is a man disease, you know, that affects all men. It's in our blood and DNA. But I'm saying, like, Lynn can just go, it's right there. I'm like, I just looked there. I've just moved all that. Right? You ever heard the saying, if it was a snake, it would have bit you? That's a way of saying that sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees, right? So both of these sayings talk about things that is obvious to most people, but for some reason, for whatever reason, you cannot see it for yourself. And so many times in life, the answer to our questions are obvious. It's right there. The problem, the solution to our problem is right there in our face, but we just can't see it. And most of the time, you already have what you need to solve your problem or help your situation. Sometimes we just have to open up our eyes and see how God can work in our life. And so today I want to talk about the 12 disciples and the challenge that they found themselves in. And all along we know from the story that the answer was right there in their face and they just could not see it at all. So remember last week we studied about the little cat at the pool, Jesus healing the little man at the pool, and that was great and it was powerful. And so all these miraculous miracles that Jesus is doing, now it's starting to catch wind and people are starting to come around him. They're pressuring in. Hundreds of people are starting to follow Jesus. And it got to the point where the Lord just couldn't find it. He just needed a little time to get away. I need a breather, you know. Yeah, he's fully God, he's also fully man. He's like, I need a little break. So him and 12 of his closest followers went off to a little remote place to get a little R&R. Anybody ever needed that before? I'm going to get a little R&R next weekend. So that's going to be nice. Lynn and I are going to get away, so that'll be good. Now, the crowds found out where Jesus was at. And so they came in on him, and they sort of kind of crashed the party, as we'd say, as Jesus and his disciples were trying to get away. Now, we just read, the Bible tells us about 5,000 men. Folks who study this a lot more than I do tell me that there was probably 4,000 to 5,000 women and maybe 5,000 to 10,000 children. So even though it says 5,000, probably altogether there was 10 to 20,000 people, okay, that was gathered up. And all these people found Jesus where he was at in this remote place. And the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on them. And he began to teach them. He began to pray for them. He began to heal them all the way until the dust comes. Now, we got to bounce over into Matthew, okay, to really look at this from a different little angle. So we're going to see what the little problem starts here. So Matthew chapter 14, verse 15 and 16. I'll read it for you. Matthew 14, 15 and 16 says this. As evening approached, it's the same story, right? It's told a little bit differently. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Now the heat starts for the disciples, right? Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." Now the disciples knew that this was physically and financially just impossible. In fact, they were a little offended. If you read all the four Gospels, they were a little offended that Jesus kind of asked them about this. You know, Philip knew the budget. He knew the budget, and he knew that feeding this many people was just not in the budget. It was impossible. So let's look at verse 7 real close. Philip answered Jesus and said, 200, everybody say 200. 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get just a little bit. So they knew this was huge. And what they say is a denarius is worth a day's wage for labor. So what does this mean in financial terms for today? Let's look at it. I looked it up on the internet, and we all know if it's on the internet, it's true, right? So I looked it up, and the average daily individual income, the average income for an individual in America this year is right at $32,000. Okay? The average income, right at $32,000 a year. So if you divide $32,000 by 365 days, which I know I'm giving, you know, that's a lot, it comes up to $87 a day. So back to the 200. He said it's, you know, 200 denarius would not be enough. So in today's financial terms, 87 times 200 is $17,000. So if this was happening today, it would be like that's telling Glenn, you know, like the Lord came in, looked at Glenn, said, I need you to feed all these people at the football game and Lounge High or something, you know. And Glenn looking like, huh? I got two mullet and, five loaves of Wonder Bread? What? You know, I don't know. You know, church, we don't have that much to feed 20,000 people, right? That was really impossible. So the disciples were, what they were really saying is, this costs too much, Lord. This is impossible. We can't do this. And if you know Jesus, if you study the Bible, you know that Jesus, you know, he loves impossible situations. Amen? He does. He loves impossible. He loves challenges. He loves it when we get our human backs against the wall. Our options are back up against the wall. Now, some of you may feel like that this morning. You may have impossible situations going on with your family. You may have impossible situations going on in your personal life, or maybe even your business life. Some of you may be wrestling with situations that have come your way, and you do not have any control over them. Amen? This is how the disciples felt. This is how they felt on this little moment when Jesus says, take care of these people. Feed these people. And they knew they had thousands of people to feed. And they knew there was no restaurant around, anywhere close. And they knew they didn't have enough camels to deliver that much pizza. I mean, that was a lot, you know. But Jesus turned to them and said, take care of these people. This is where they started getting stressed out. They started wondering how they're going to figure it out. How do I figure this out? What am I going to do? The Bible tells us real clear, we just read it, that this was a test for them. Jesus was testing their faith. This was an impossible situation, and Jesus was testing their faith. Does he do that with us? Amen. Jesus does that with us. God does that with us. He will allow certain situations to come up in our life just enough to where we need to trust him. We need to trust him. Does he always work everything out just like that? No, he doesn't. Not in my life, anyway. For real. It seems that God always allows me to struggle for some reason, especially when I get hard-headed. Seriously. Okay, Lord. So he gives me the opportunity to see how impossible the situation is. And some of you also are facing impossible situations. But this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to keep praying and trusting God. Sometimes, you know, we can just pray the most simple prayers. Just a very short prayer. God, help me. Lord, I don't know what to do. I heard my mom pray this so many years. She was going to be here this morning, but she got feeling bad. She would always say, Jesus, help us all. Jesus, help us all. Precious. Sometimes the shortest prayers are the most sincere and effective. Would you agree? Sometimes we get caught up in these long prayers that we think we're impressing somebody, or trying to say it right, or trying to sound King James, or sound like Deacon Jones. You know, don't get caught up in that. That's a trap of religion. Sometimes God just wants you to get along, walk in the woods, down by the river, or go sit on your couch and just talk to him. Amen? Just talk to him. You're not going to shock God by telling him, you know, what's going on in your life. God also wants us to come to him with childlike faith. Childlike faith. You'll be amazed at the answers that come when you stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to figure it out by yourself. And realize that God wants to connect with you. Please hear this little bit right here. I believe two of the main reasons why God allows problems to come in our way is connection and character. Connection and character. He wants to connect with us. And He wants to build our character. That's very scriptural, y'all. I could give you tons of scriptures around that one, but most of you guys know. And let me share this too. I will encourage you this morning to keep it simple. Keep your walk with the Lord simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't get into a hyper-religious thing or even hyper-spiritual. No, keep a balance. Keep a balance, a solid balance, and keep it simple. Now, allow me to tell you, I want to read to you a quick story. Everybody got it? Here's a short story. I'm going to read it. A university professor tells a story about a group of engineering students who were given this problem. Who could be the first to find out how long should a 3-pound roast in a 325-degree oven, how long would it take for the center to reach the temperature of 150 degrees? These engineering students, right? So these students went to work. Another kid went out. It says one student did this long series of experiments. Another kid went out and bought a roast and a thermometer and put it in the oven and sit there and watch the clock. Another one got out a spreadsheet and did all these mathematical calculations trying to figure it out. But the kid who got the quickest answer and won the prize was the kid who picked up the phone and called his mother. He said, "Hey, Mom, how do you cook a roast?" Amen. Sometimes the answers to the most important, biggest questions in our life. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes the answers to the most important and biggest questions in our life are not figured out logically or even spiritually. Sometimes they are discovered relationally. Relationally, like our relationship with each other, our relationship with God. When we have these issues and problems that come up in life, sometimes all we got to do is talk to a few folks that we respect that are walking with the Lord, you know, in our relationships, and we go, "Oh, okay, that makes sense." In our relationship with God, as we talk to the Lord, you know, just keep it real practical. God will speak to us through His Word. Amen? Another reason God allows impossible circumstances in our lives is to remind us of the fact that He is there for us. We can turn to Him. We can trust Him. He wants us to connect with Him, have a relationship with Him, talk to Him, trust Him. He is a good, good Father. Now back to the story. Sorry. These disciples had a problem, and it was a big problem. They had to feed thousands of people. Everybody still with me? They had to feed thousands of people. And then Jesus, this is what He said. Please listen to this right here. This is real important that I know you get this right here. Right? Jesus said this to them. "Tell me what you have." You know, He said, "Take care of these people. Feed these people." And they're like, you know. But Jesus said, "All right." He said, "Tell me what you have. Don't tell me what you don't have, but tell me what you do have." And I'm going to say that again. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence here, but I want this to sink in. Jesus said, "Tell me what you have." Don't tell me what you don't have, but tell me what you do have. And in verse 8 and 9 says, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There's this little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? Now right here, Andrew, if he was just stopped at that one sentence, he probably would have been a hero of the faith. He may have ended up in, you know, the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews if he had just stopped one sentence earlier. But no. You know, if he just said, Jesus, I got this kid. He's got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and I know you're awesome and you created the world and everything, and I believe in you. I know you can do this. I don't know how, but I know you can do it. If he'd have said that, man, he might have been in the Hebrews Hall of Fame, Faith Hall of Fame. But no. What did he do? He says, but how far will this go with so many people? Right there in Scripture. So many times, we talk ourselves out of the miracle that God wants to do in our lives. Both Philip and Andrew said that this was impossible. The need is too great and the resources are too small. That's what he said. See, the point of the story is this. It doesn't matter what the situation is. If it's a need or if it's a problem, there's nothing too great for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would y'all agree with that? Here's the sad thing. Look at the scripture. The disciples had already decided that this situation was impossible. They knew they just couldn't feed this many people with just these little fishes and breads. How many times have we done that in our lives? We've looked at the situation and said that there's no way. There's no way I can get out of this. There's no way this is going to happen. I just can't see that. Let's go a step further with that. How many of you are looking at situations right now in your life and you've decided that there's just probably nothing I can do? Well, I want to encourage you this morning that all things are possible with God. Don't put God in a box. God is bigger than your box. God is a whole lot bigger than all of us even can imagine in our little brains. Our God is an awesome God. Remember that song? I'm not going to sing it, though. It's in there, right? Our God is an awesome God. Right? Sing it, Gary. Now, trying to close it down here. These disciples had just a little bit. They had a little bit. Folks who study this stuff tell us that it was probably more like 2 large sardines. So they, you know, I've studied this a lot. Probably more than likely it was like 2 large sardines and 5 little cakes about the size of a little pancake. That's probably what it was. So in their minds, they knew and believed that was not enough to make a difference. That's just not enough to make a difference. How many times have we done the same thing? We see a need is presented, and we go, well, I don't have enough to do anything to really make a difference. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough, fill in the blank. See, we've already decided that what we have is not enough to make a difference. And that is a lie. It's a lie of the enemy. Don't believe it. Most times we get into situations like this or some situation in the future is that God is working on our character. God is working on our ability to be able to trust Him. Knowing that We can't do this on our own. We can't. Whatever's going on, whatever situation or problem, we must realize that we can't do this on our own. When we try to do this on our own, it's called stroke, nervous breakdown, depression, suicidal thoughts. It's all those negative things. When we start trying to do whatever we're trying to do on our own. See, what we say in the recovery community, right? In the recovery community, you need a higher power. You ever heard that before? You need a higher power. You need a power greater than yourself. You need a power greater than your situation. What you really need, what we all really need, is the power of Almighty God in our life each day. Each day, completely dependent on God. God wants to help you with your problems. He wants to be a part of the process. He wants to be a part of the solution. He wants to show you His power. He gets glory. He gets honor, right? He gets the glory. Let's look at verse 11 and 12 real quick. 11 and 12. Jesus then took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, He told His disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. Now this was a miracle. We all know this. This is a miracle that fed thousands of people. And the answer to their problems was right there in their face. Jesus was able to use what they had. Here's the point. God wants to get you involved in what He is doing. Every person in the sound of my voice, God wants to get you involved in what He's doing at Pauline Baptist Church. He wants to get you involved in what He's doing in this county, the state, and the world. You have a play. You have a part in this. And it could be, you've heard me talk about this 100 times. It could be anything from sending out a thank you card or a birthday card or praying for the folks that's on the back of this list every day or once a week. It could be anything, but God is calling us to work in the kingdom. Now, He could do it without you, couldn't He? He could do it without you, but most time He doesn't really work that way. He wants you to use what you have. He wants to use what you have. What do you have? That's what He's saying right now. What's in front of you? What do you have? Every person in here has something of value. Amen. Do you believe that? Are you willing to be part of what God is doing in this world? God asks us to do our part. God loves to take whatever, just like He did it with the fish and the bread. And I'm closing now, okay? So God loves to take whatever we have right now and then multiply it to accomplish His purposes in the world. So what do you have? Are you willing to let Him use it to serve others? See, God loves to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things for the kingdom. You see this throughout the Bible, all the stories. He took David, a scrawny little kid with nothing but a slingshot, killed a giant and drove back an invading army. God took Moses, an outcast with a criminal record, and just his staff and freed millions of slaves. And then God took this little kid. Jesus took this little kid with a Happy Meal, right? And fed thousands and thousands of people. And here's one last point I want to make. And this is kind of cool. Sometimes we look over little things, but the Lord put this on my heart. Look at 12 and 13. Think about this. Jesus took 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, and multiplied it to feed thousands of people. Then, when everyone was full, what did He say? He told His disciples, to collect up the leftovers, and there happened to be how many baskets of leftovers? 12. Do you think that was a coincidence? That there was 12? I don't think so. Think about it. Jesus had 12 disciples. I believe Jesus wanted to make sure that every one of the disciples who were helping him serve had a full basket of bread left over. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So our memory verse for the day is John 10:10. John 10:10. The Bible says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, even in the midst of the storm, the problems and situations that are going on in life. Well, we love you. Father, if there's one here this morning that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, I just pray that during the song of invitation, they will come down and talk with me. I'll be glad to pray with them and settle that this morning. Father, maybe there's folks here that would like to get baptized. We'd love to do that. And Lord, there may be some folks that want to join our church, be a part of our fellowship. Lord, you just move. We just pray above everything that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.